Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk about the grace and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the gift of Pentecost, as recent popes have described, what the church needs most is her perennial Pentecost. That is the constant outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes from the throne room of God. It comes from the person of Jesus Christ, who's been glorified, exalted at the right hand of the Father. And the church lives by the Spirit. The Spirit is what animates the church, the power that transforms the church. It's the power that makes the church come to be. The Holy Spirit is what makes the sacraments become what they are. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us and leads us and empowers us to become saints. There's no way for us to reach our ultimate destiny, which for every single one of us is to be a saint. And it's funny, we are very much aware, especially as Americans, I think, but pretty much all human beings are, of we all have within us a desire to do something great or to achieve something, to achieve some goal or to accomplish something that's ultimately we're recognized for. I want to be, you know, I was watching a football game, a little bit of a game last weekend, and one of the commentators found out that he was being inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. And he's there with other guys on the panel, and he starts to cry because he's achieved a goal. And for him, he said it was the ultimate. You know, this is the ultimate honor that he could have. God bless him for that achievement. Nothing wrong with that. But in light of what really matters ultimately and what we should be celebrating more clearly, is the goal of life is to become a saint. The goal that will lead to a crown, which will lead to eternal glory, a sharing in the eternal glory. Because see, what happens in a situation like the one I just described is this gentleman worked very hard for a goal, and he achieved that goal. And there's a certain amount of glory that comes with it, a recognition, and then he gets celebrated. He'll get celebrated on the day that he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, and there'll be more tears and more sense of accomplishment, and his will can rest because he was recognized for what he had done, and it makes him helps him feel valuable on a certain level. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, rightly understood, properly received, nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about it to somehow criticize it. But I'm raising it up to say this is what human beings, we naturally long for. Something, you know, like this. We direct our efforts towards something. We want to ultimately know that what we've done well, and that we get recognized for what we've done. All of that's related, friends, to the deeper longing that many times it seems human beings never come in touch with. And that is the longing to hear not the commissioner of the National Football League saying, well done, but our God, our Creator, our Father, saying, and Jesus, who's called us, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and inherit the kingdom that I've prepared for you. Come and inherit the kingdom. A great question that we need to ask ourselves is, what is my heart ultimately set on? Is it the kingdom? What's the number one goal of my life? What do I desire above everything else? Jesus calls us to it. He showed us the way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything else will be added unto you. I happen to see a testimony speaking. This is just coming to my mind as I'm talking, because I was using the NFL example. The coach of the Baylor football team, Matt Rhule, is now the coach, I think, of North Carolina in the NFL. They just moved from college to the NFL. And because of that, I happened to see his name, and then I saw a short little testimony that he gave to a men's conference. He's a son of a Protestant pastor, and he was talking about he had turned a football program around at Temple, so his name became, he being kind of a hot coach in college football, and then he got the job at Baylor. It was in just gone through a kind of crisis in their program, and he brought that back and became one of the, you know, most winning teams in the country. And so there's a lot of recognition that was happening about who he was as a coach. And in this testimony, it was interesting. He said that at one point in his life, he's married, had kids, and was transitioning into a new job. And he called his dad and mother and said that he and his wife had decided basically to get divorced because they just couldn't make it work. And he was typical of a lot of guys who were coaching at that level. He didn't want to admit it to himself at the time, but he was living 24/7, 7 days a week to be the best football coach he could be. And he said he was committed to excellence. But what he did was, in so many words, he said he sacrificed his marriage. He forgot his fundamental purpose. And his dad challenged him and called him to it. And he realized that the exact passage he uses, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness. And he said he just realized he just hadn't been doing that. He thought in his commitment to excellence in his career, he was somehow fulfilling it. But he said, no, he completely lost his sense of ultimate purpose. And he realigned his priorities with an eternal perspective and put the kingdom of God first and recommitted to his wife. And their whole marriage and life had been restored. The Lord has continued. He continued to walk in some ways. And the Lord's blessing, he's been given gifts to do well what he does. But all of that stuff that he was so dedicated to got put in perspective. His very marriage, which is so much more important than a job, was being sacrificed for the job because he had lost clarity about who he was, what the whole point of life is, and how to put first things first. And why I'm saying all this is the reality of what we've been talking about over the last week or two of the mission of the Son to communicate to us the life of the Holy Spirit is precisely for this purpose. Who are you? Where are you from? Who made you? To whom do you belong? What's the meaning of your life? Why are you here? Why do you even exist in the first place? How can you find fulfillment and happiness? Ultimately, we've been talking about here is how can you become a saint? And we're living at a time in a culture where all kinds of secondary and tertiary things are awards and goals and achievements are being exalted. And many of those things are fine. But what's not talked about and not celebrated culturally anymore is the value of being a saint, the value of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And walking in the footsteps of Jesus is made possible by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. There's just no other way. It's not something we can do on our own that we achieve. It's a receiving the gift of new life in the Spirit and then knowing, as St. Paul reminds us, that we're temples of the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in us and that the kingdom, the King himself, has come to dwell in us to help us bring our lives into the kingdom of God and under the kingship and rule and reign of Christ, who's come to us as one who serves. He's coming to wash our feet and to help us see what it means to live in God's kingdom, because it's God's kingdom that's going to last for all eternity. The kingdom of this world is going to pass away. That's why you're the light of the world if you're living in the kingdom, because you're shedding a light of the kingdom into a world that doesn't recognize the kingdom and is not living in it. I want to continue in the last few minutes here of the program in paragraph 727 of the Catechism, which continues to teach us on the relationship between Christ and the Holy Spirit. It says, the entire mission of the Son and the Holy Spirit in the fullness of time is contained in this, that the Son is the one anointed by the Father's Spirit since his incarnation. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one that's filled with the Holy Spirit, which means he's the only one who can give the kingdom life to human hearts. No one else can do it. No other philosophy, no other leader, nothing. What the human race needs is this reality, is the life that's in the Son. And it comes only from Jesus. It says, everything in the second chapter of the Creed, again, this is the Catechism, everything in the second chapter of the Creed is to be read in this light. Christ's whole work is, in fact, a joint mission of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Here we shall mention only what has to do with Jesus' promise of the Spirit and the gift of Him by the glorified Lord. So awesome. It's so inspiring to lay hold of the Father's great economy, His plan of salvation, and how it's all working out, and how it's all going to work, and how it's meant to work, be worked out in our lives. All of this is possible because Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what Peter announced on the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ is the Lord. All power and authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. He's the one who's making right what has been wrong. He's the one who's rescuing a race of people. He's the one who's establishing the kingdom of God on earth and leading people from darkness to light. Thanks be to God for the scripture and for the catechism and for the saints. You know, lots of people feel very shaken in the church by the confusion that's in the church today. There's a whole bunch of leaders. I don't know why it's happening in this time, this hour of the church. Leaders, some bishops, some cardinals, others are just saying very, I think, foolish and very confusing things. Like, you know, the head of the Jesuits saying the devil's not real. He's not a real being. He's, you know, just a symbol of something. Wrong. Cardinal, major cardinal in Germany saying it. We shouldn't talk about hell. When in fact, Jesus talked about it a lot. Because they're making a diagnosis that modern man has kind of gone beyond this concept, or that modern man is so sensitive it might trigger him and it might not be helpful. Look, we need to just take in the teaching of Jesus in whatever way, whatever he says, and internalize it and communicate what Jesus communicates to us. Because every word he ever spoke is love, and every word he ever spoke is truth. Truth and love. This is what the world needs. This is what we all need. Paragraph 728. Jesus does not reveal the Holy Spirit fully until he has been glorified through his death and resurrection. Nevertheless, little by little, he alludes to him, even in his teaching, to the multitudes, as when he reveals that his own flesh will be food for the life of the world. He also alludes to the Spirit in speaking to Nicodemus, to the Samaritan woman, and to those who take part in the Feast of Tabernacles. To his disciples, he speaks only of the Spirit in connection with prayer and with the witness they have to bear. It's the Spirit who enables us to pray. You know, and Paul will echo the teaching of Jesus. And he ultimately will say it's the Spirit within us who cries out, Abba, Father. As we pray, the Spirit teaches us to pray. And the prayer is teaching us that first that we're children of God, that we're loved by God, and that he's come to forgive us and to heal us and to lead us to our home. And that happens through the mercy and grace that comes to us through the church. And ultimately, the Spirit is the source of the church's mission. One of the reasons why the new evangelization isn't going forth, in my opinion, with very effective power, and is because so few people are doing and connected to it. And the reason so few people who are baptized are not connected to it is because they don't know who they are, because they don't know the Spirit. They haven't been awakened to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. They're not living in the full mystery of Pentecost. That's why partly I'm doing these programs, that all of us can become more alive and awake to this central mystery from which we are meant to live in the church. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.